Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, welcome to Into the Darkness Radio. I am Matt. I'm normally the co-host, but I'm the host tonight because Brittany's out doing her shenanigans. Tonight we have a special show. That song that you heard is normally not Brittany's, as you know. I have Jenny Frank with me. That was her song, so she is with us. And I think.
Hey.
There we go.
Hey, guys.
How you doing, Jenny?
I'm good. How are you doing, Matt?
I'm doing all right, as usual. Busy weekend. How was yours?
It was pretty good.
Anything interesting happen?
Probably not as interesting as what happened to you. I heard you had a lot of crazy stuff going on.
Yeah, nothing so much Saturday night, but Sunday, me and one of my coworkers, Tim, decided to take the weekend, or take the Sunday, and go up to Wisconsin and go to this place called McMiller's Sportsman's Park, which we were shooting 22s, we were shooting 12-gauge, and then I decided to head up to Final Lock. Well, let me give you a demographic area here is... It's north of Lake Geneva, which is right between Madison and Milwaukee, is where this place was. So then I had to go from there. I didn't have to, but I did. I drove to Final Lock, which is an hour north of Milwaukee, and then to Eden, Wisconsin, which isn't too far from there, about 10, 15 miles outside of town, and then drove home and got home about 3:30 in the morning. Then woke up and went to work this morning and been up ever since.
And I didn't hear from you all Sunday, and I called you. I saw on your Facebook page that you posted you're going out shooting. And I called you, and I was like, are you still alive? You're not going to leave me hanging for this Monday night show in the hospital if you shot your eye out.
I think it would have been a little more than an eye with what we were shooting. But, yeah, and actually, the one thing I do have to say is I know I've mentioned this this a lot before. Jenny and I are doing the show live together from Tokyo Bay in Naperville, my favorite sushi place in the world. Love coming here. Got awesome owner Ken behind, cranking up the tunes in the background. So not too loud so we can do this, though. So thank you, Ken, for letting us do it. I'm looking forward to my plate of sushi that's on its way.
Thank you, Ken. And, you know, and all of you, everybody out there, this is my first time ever trying sushi, so wish me luck. I'm just kidding. I hear Ken makes great sushi. So it's the best in the country.
Yeah, I've actually had sushi. I've had sushi all over the world, and our mutual friend Mark Betts, who I hope he's coming up. He set his back curtain, but he may be joining us here too. He had never tried sushi either, and he has now become an addict ever since coming here. Well, the one thing I found about coming here is we were here for a band that was actually playing one night, and he had never tried it, so I forced him to sit at the table, and I ordered just whatever the hell I wanted, and he ate it all, and there wasn't a single thing that he said was bad. So now, ever since then, we've been coming here for years now. So this is, and I do put my stamp of approval on it. I've eaten sushi all throughout the world pretty much, and this is the best. I've never been to Japan, though, so it may be better. Who knows?
Well, I'm going to try eel here in a few minutes, so I'll let y'all know what it tastes like.
Yes, the unagi is definitely a good one. Hector did not steer you wrong on that, Jenny.
I'm being brave.
And we have sushi that has just been placed on the table.
It's a delivery.
Okay, so I'll give you a quick rundown. So that's wasabi, which obviously is hot. That's ginger. So,
okay, so the wasabi, that's pink. It's
no, that's the green.
Okay, so it's a green mark.
It looks like it's almost like a paste. It's real spicy. It's like a horseradish. It's like a real strong horseradish. But if you want to try it, I can mix you up some rice or the right way to do it. Or if you don't and just want to eat the sushi, you can do that too.
Why don't we each eat one at the same time?
That works for me. Do you want a fork or a chopstick work for you?
I was going to use my fingers.
You can do that, too, if you want.
All right. I'm standing up for this.
Whichever one you want. They all taste the same.
They do?
Yeah.
All right, here we go.
I wish I had a drum roll thing I could bring up right now.
Everybody out there listening, do a drum roll. Oh, he's got it in his mouth. I'm falling behind. Okay, 1, 2, 3, go. Oh, my word. Give me a second.
It is so good.
Oh, now that I'm done doing.
Ken, you make awesome sushi. You'll definitely have a repeat customer. We got Ken sitting next to us. He says hi.
Yeah. So tonight, you know, our normal style of show that we do is primarily paranormal stuff like that. Well, on my show on Wednesday nights on Full Spectrum Radio, named it Full Spectrum because we kind of do a full spectrum everything. Well, that's what I carried over onto Brittany's show for this evening. It's going to be all music related, all band related. So, got definitely two great bands. The Employers are going to be first, and then Polarizers is going to be second. So, and I believe we have one of them. He was there, and now he just popped off. I think we got him there. He was called in, then he dropped off, and he called in, and then he dropped off again. So.
Uh-oh. He'll come back. He'll come back to us.
All right. So I'll put you on the spot a little bit here. What kind of shows have you done recently? Got anything coming up that you've been working on project-wise? Or?
You know, I do. I've got I'm working on this album that's called Beautiful Lies. It's actually funded by a Kickstarter campaign that we did back in June. For those of you that don't know what Kickstarter is, we have it's where it's like a crowdfunding. So it's like your crowd, your fans, they actually finance your next project. So we were lucky enough to get financed. So thank you, everybody, for helping us out with that. And the CD is called Beautiful Lies, and it's coming out soon, and I'm super excited about it. So actually, the song, the intro song that you guys heard that was played, that's going to be one of the songs on the album. So that's just a preview of what's to come. I think we have Ryan on the line now, so he's still there?
Hey, he is here, and he should be live with us now. Hey, Ryan, how's it going?
Hey, what's going on? I can hear you good. I was
Ryan! Woo!
Hey, what's going on, Jenny?
Yeah, so
I heard you eating sushi. It sounded delicious.
Oh, yeah, it was so good. My first time in my life. And I'm still here.
It's yeah, that's one problem with sushi, though, is if you have any sort of allergy, it's really hard to find something, like, especially if it's shellfish.
Right. I've got a shellfish allergy, but there's actually quite a few selections that I can eat, so. So we definitely, you know, cater to allergies really well here at the Tokyo Bay.
Yeah. So, Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit about the band stuff you guys have done, if you got anything coming up, you know, up and coming, or, you know, working on any projects or anything.
Yeah, for sure. I'm in a band called The Employees. We're based out of the Chicagoland area. We have gigged a few gigs with Jenny. I met Jenny through my wife, and we gigged with her around the area, too. And this summer we just released a concept album titled Unemployed. And the one liner of the concept would be basically the death of the American dream. It sounds grim, but it's kind of like a grim topic, but upbeat rock, alternative, kind of psychedelic mixed in there. The whole thing is about, you know, the economy kind of collapsing. Some popular news stories of the last like 5 years or so, more on the political side of things, were inspired by some of the songs. We even had Blago himself on our album, a sound clip of him talking on a song called Impersonator, all about fake politicians. And that's kind of the gist of what the concept of the album is about, is kind of being fed up with how things are going and not a lot being done about it, I guess.
So, do you guys have to change the name of the band now, though, with the subject matter?
What's that? Can you repeat that? I'm sorry.
So, do you have to change the name of the band now because of the subject matter being The Employees? Is that, would it be The Unemployees?
No. That's kind of, we kind of titled it Unemployed, you know, just in case.
Yeah, they skirted around that, you know.
Yeah, you know, we thought that was also kind of clever title for it, and everyone in the band kind of kicked around the idea of trying a concept album. Also, being in a sea of millions of bands, we were trying to pick something, I guess, close to our hearts and something that we were interested in, and a lot of people that are or should be. So kind of a little raising awareness and a little rocking out at the same time, just writing about something we're all kind of passionate about in the band. And it actually, from that, we got basically the Occupy movement happened right when we released our album. So that crowd of people really accepted the album, and we actually got invited to play a NATO summit protest show at Abbey. And through that album and through that connection, we ended up meeting Tom Morello of Rage Against the Machine at the show. So that was kind of like really cool. And he's one of my personal guitar hero guys I've looked up to. So meeting him was kind of cool. And the whole, I don't want to say anti-establishment, but the whole just the government subject matter and the underlying theme of our album, he seemed genuinely interested in it and gave me a few albums and shook his hand, got a few pictures, and we were on our way.
Nice. So, so one thing that I've never actually been able to do this before, I don't believe it, so I'm going to give this a try in a little bit. We'll chat a little bit more, but I ended up uploading the MK3 of an impersonator on our soundboard so I could actually get it to play.
Oh, cool.
After a little bit. Yeah, so real quick, I was wondering if there was anything that you want to plug, like websites or, you know, Facebook or anything, like any plugs you want to throw out, feel free.
Yeah, we're pretty much all over the web. Our main website is theemployeesband.com. But we're on Facebook, SoundCloud, MySpace, pretty much everything, iTunes. If you pretty much go on Google or YouTube or anywhere you can search and search the Employees Band, something will pop up. And right now, I believe on our website, we have Unemployed for free download there and on SoundCloud.
Oh, cool.
Yeah.
Who was the were you the mind behind impersonator? I listened to it earlier today when I was at work. I really like that tune, man.
Yeah, thanks. That song was basically written by my brother. He's the lead singer of the band, and
Ryan's the impersonator.
I kind of am right now. But that song was a collection of songs my brother was writing and the band was working on, and it just fit the bill for that album we were working on in the concept. And right around the time that song musically was being written, the whole Blagojevich scandal was all over the place on the news. And so that kind of is what that song is kind of loosely based on, is being kind of a puppet politician, just reading the words on the page and smiling at the camera.
Yeah, that's kind of how all that runs. If you want, if it's cool with you, man, I like to play it so everybody can hear it.
Cool.
Yeah.
Impersonator! Woo!
All right, and here is Impersonator.
They won't in a year.
For some reason, there we go. Okay. For some reason, the buttons weren't pressing when I was trying to turn everybody's mics back on. So that was impersonator. I like that too, man. Like I said, I was listening. Me and the guys at work were listening to it today.
Drago.
Blagojevich.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So,
okay,
the new album or the album that is out or any products that you have coming out, is it pretty much just like on MySpace and SoundCloud? Or, I mean, do you have stuff on Amazon for download or iTunes or anything?
Yeah, it's pretty much everywhere, but right now we have it for free on SoundCloud and our webpage. We kind of believe in and follow a lot of our live stuff we actually record and we put on our webpage for free download, so we have all kinds of other materials, covers, our own renditions, even some B-sides, jams. We just have a ton of free music available everywhere on our webpage. But the album's available on iTunes, pretty much any of those sites, CD Baby, Amazon.com, et cetera.
Cool.
So what do you feel about CD Baby and all those other websites? How do you, is it overwhelming as a band to deal with, like, to have so many websites and passwords and different things to deal with, or are you,
well,
you guys handle it pretty well?
The thing about CD Baby and all that is it's nice and they're cool sites. I can't really say they're bad because, you know, they're for, you know, musicians like us and independent people and stuff, but it's just not what a lot of people know or really would go to first. That'd be the only negative I would say about it. Obviously, iTunes, everyone has or has some sort of MP3 player these days, or iPhones that you can just download it straight to your phone. So, and actually also with those websites, certain ones let you set the price and certain ones don't. So it's kind of bizarre, but the album is different prices on different sites, and it's not in our control. And that's just, I guess, the real world of getting the album distributed like that.
That's true. I can totally relate to that. What do you think about all the different social networking sites? Do you feel like, you know, like there's Google+, Facebook, Bandcamp, MySpace?
Yeah, I think with I'm not too familiar with Google+. I really haven't gotten into that for personal use or band-wise, but all of the other ones you named, and there's more, are kind of a necessity for being a band right now at this kind of age in music. Everything's kind of going digital, and, you know, you need your music out there. More people probably, I don't know what the stats are on surfing the web every day, but just imagine how many people are on the internet every day, and one thing links to another, or you can just send a email out to 50 people at once to say, hey, check out our new album. It's just social media is, I guess it's good and bad in a way where it's really good because most of them are free and you can get your music out there. But it's also kind of creates another problem with everybody can do that, you know? So it's not just you go to the record store and what you kind of see there is what you get. Now it's the record store is I could create 10 bands tonight and have pages for them. So it kind of almost oversaturates the market, but at the same time is a really valuable tool if you know how to use it. So it's kind of a double-edged sword, I think. But in general, I would say thumbs up. It's good for being in a band. It's a must.
Yeah, speaking of what you're talking about, everything going digital, that is one thing where you see a lot of artists that were direct mainstream artists, not even independents or just, you know, garage band kind of stuff, that they have to tour again because they just with the downloads and stuff, they're not making the dollars and the revenue to support the lifestyle of it when they were selling albums. And if it sold for $13.99 that they were getting, you know, $3 to $4 an album. Now it's like, you know, pennies on the dollar, literally.
Exactly,
so.
And that's that kind of mindset, and it might not reflect everybody's mindset in the band, but personally for me, that's kind of how, kind of why we've offered our album for free on and off, because it's just, we would kind of, at this point, would rather people get the music out there, get people interested, to then maybe, hey, I'm going to check these guys out, and then we try to focus on our live shows, and then getting back to that, just kind of getting out and playing, having people coming out, you know, seeing it is different, you know, it's just a different experience live for any band. So we're to get the music out there in this kind of day and age too, where it's everybody's got an album, and we just kind of are like getting to the point where it being for free download isn't the end of the world, you know.
Yeah, well, it's a direct marketing thing too. I mean, you know, more people know, or people who hear about your word of mouth that can listen to you and not be like, oh, well, I heard this band's good, but I'm not going to download their album for $6. You know,
yeah, exactly.
And the whole thing with music is too, is you put it out there because it's passion. And I mean, if you turn it into a career, yeah, there has to be some sort of revenue stream at some point, but that's where the gigs come in, and it's not that you're getting rich off of it, but the fact that you're just putting it out there.
Exactly.
To continue to put it back into the business.
For us, it's definitely a thing of passion. That's kind of how we came up with the band name, is we're all employees separately. We all have jobs. We all have full-time jobs. We're all working people. So it's definitely a part-time.
Yeah, but now you guys are all unemployed.
Right? Technically not. But
well,
actually,
you gotta keep up.
What I was going to say about, actually, I forgot to mention earlier about the album, is we teamed up with a actual political cartoonist. We actually hired him. I basically spent days on the internet just looking at different political cartoon artists and seeing which guys I liked, and I was just directly trying to find their emails. And we found this guy we really liked, and he lives in Canada. His name's Cameron Cardow. And he's been published in New York Times, LA Times, pretty much every publication you can think of. And we approached him with our concept idea, told him a few of the songs, what they were about, what type of stuff, and he said, yeah, I checked your guys' band out, love it, I'll do it. And he did our cover album art. So if you're on our website or on the web at all, the cover of the album, if you can see it, it's a really cool piece of art that he just whipped up out of his brain. So he even did characters of each of the band members on the cover. And it's just, it's cool and weird seeing yourself as a political cartoon, because that's what he did in political cartoon style. And it's really good. I got to definitely give him props for kind of making the album even that much cooler for us. And as a whole package, that the cover is very self-explanatory of what the album is about as well.
Yeah, I saw that, and I don't know why it was showing up on my, when I downloaded the song was sent to me, I downloaded the MP3 and the album art came up on it, but it wouldn't let me save that, because as you're looking at your screen right now, if you are or on the link where it's just basically scrolling through a bunch of pictures of Britney, it would let me edit all the info and everything, but it wouldn't let me edit the photos. I wanted to put that album art up there because it was really cool.
Yeah, it's definitely cool. That's why I wanted to at least give him a shout out, or to at least check that out. It's pretty much the album cover or image when you download it, or any of the streaming websites, it'll be a picture of it. But it is definitely kind of a cool thing. And he did the back cover. He basically did the whole album package, except like the interior sleeve, but the picture actually wraps around to the back, but unfortunately you only get the full picture if you get the CD, so.
I like your album cover. It kind of reminds me of Great America, but, you know, I know that there's,
yeah, well,
like that political. Uh-huh.
It's kind of loosely based, just a little synopsis. I know people at home can't see it, but if you're looking at it or you check it out, is it's basically loosely based on one of our songs called Ride. It's one of those things where, like, there's little pieces of songs in the cover. And the song Ride is about just kind of like a roller coaster of just hang on. The one line in the song is hang on now and just enjoy the ride. And it's very, once again, political overtones of, like, you're not going to do anything about it, just strap in and hope for the best. But it's not always the best stance to have. And there's actually a pig on the cover, too, with us in a roller coaster cart. And the pig signifies, we also have a song on there called Panic, which is all about the swine flu outbreak, which kind of sounds weird. But
no, you know what? Didn't you guys play a show with pig heads on?
Yeah, that's what that meant. Everyone probably thought we were crazy, but yeah, we have these pig masks, and for that song, we put them on and jam out with pig masks on, but the whole song is kind of like a look at society, and the song's called Panic, so it's, you know, it's kind of a little subtle tones of, like, propaganda, and once again, more overtones with cohesive of the whole concept of the album. It's definitely
very
a cool song.
Did you guys hear that? Speaking of the swine flu, did you guys hear about the new bird flu outbreak in China? There's a new one going around. It's called, like, H1N9 or something like that.
Well, maybe we'll have a new song.
It. You guys need to write one.
And then
we'd
wear bird heads.
Wear bird heads and put it out as the H1N9 single.
Yeah, I heard about it on the news this morning when I was watching and getting ready for work. They've already killed, like, millions of chickens and stuff to try and contain it. Yeah, thank you. I don't know why it is. All right. If I seem a little slow, it's because I was up until 3:30 in the morning. And Jenny, you're up till what, like 4?
Yeah.
So late.
I was up
till
about 10 p.m.
Yeah, but you were saying that you had a cold. You sound great tonight.
Yeah, I actually feel great tonight. Actually, me and the wife kind of swapped spots. Now she's inside on the couch dying, and I am feeling good. Yeah, I'm feeling good, though. I was sick I've been basically had a cold for the last 5 days. And today's the first day I feel
five
good and
days.
Can breathe.
That's great. Piece of cake. Come on.
All right,
yeah,
so...
it's just...
No, go ahead.
I was going to say, it just slows me down a little, but I kept trucking.
Well, you got to. All right, so, and I know everybody has one in every situation and profession. What is, if it was live show or whatever it was, what is either your funniest moment or most memorable moment actually performing that you guys have had?
I guess two come to mind quickly, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one of the real good ones, but one show we played a place called the Montrose Room in Rosemont, Illinois. It's basically inside the Intercontinental Hotel. It's like this, like, night, like, I don't know how you describe it, like a cocktail lounge, but they have a really nice stage and sound system, and they wanted to get bands there. So long story short, we played. But this, since we were the first band to ever play there, they had all these, like, props and wigs and outfits for
and you put
comedians.
Them on, right?
Yeah. So most of the time, I should say, we wear suits, you know, kind of playing into the whole employee thing. And this show, we ended up just going through all these racks of basically stuff, props. And each member just got their own get-up and wore wigs and raccoon hats and I don't know. It was basically from that night on, the band was never the same. And then we started wearing pig masks and wigs, and it kind of changed the dynamic. It was just kind of like a good time. It was just one of those things.
And now, don't you play with your brother? Your
yes.
brother in the band too?
And actually, at that show, during one of my guitar solos, because I play lead guitar. I didn't mention that earlier, but I'm the guitarist in the band. My brother sings and plays rhythms. He proceeded to drop to his knees, and it's impossible to describe, but did some sort of pogo dance move on his knees in front of me across the stage. And actually, it's on video. I think it's on YouTube. YouTube Island Montrose Room or something like that. And if you're listening, you'll see the pogo move I'm talking about.
Is that his classic move? What's his name?
Chris.
That's his classic Chris move?
Well, he should do it again, because it was classic. And
is he listening in right now?
He might be. He might be. The other kind of, not really, it's funny now because no one got hurt, but another funny thing that came to mind was our old drummer, Tom, was playing a show, and I think we were playing at Otto's in DeKalb, I think, and they had two monitor speakers, like, stacked on top of each other vertically, so it was kind of tall, and one of them decided to crash down, fall off completely, like, crushed him in the leg, bent his hi-hat stand, but he kept playing.
Oh, my God.
Yeah. Like, during a song, it was like the subwoofer must have rattled it off, and it just fell down, crashed. But looking back on it, it was pretty funny. That one is not on tape, though, unfortunately.
Well, the one I did find it on YouTube, I just posted it in the chat. Dude, that is just absolutely awesome costumes, man. I'm watching it right now.
Oh, yeah, it's great.
Yeah, there's a couple Montrose Room shows we played, and I can't remember if that the video was from the second or the first one, but every time we played there, we ended up just going through their, like, clothes racks and putting on all kinds of stuff. It's pretty funny, just a spare-the-moment thing, and just to make ourselves laugh and to basically make our fans be like, what?
Oh, that's what it's all about, is just having fun, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, at our CD release show, it's not really, it wasn't, didn't have anything to do with costumes, except we did wear pig masks. But at our CD release show, we played Lincoln Hall, and they had a movie projector and screen. So for that show, that actually is also on YouTube. I think if you just YouTube the employees Lincoln Hall, it's on there. But for our CD release show, we did our concept album start to finish, just like you would hear putting it in a CD player. And we basically made a music video the length of our album, and it projected, synced to our show. It's kind of hard to explain, but if you see it, it's a really cool visual.
Now that's where you wore the pig mask, right?
Yeah, we've done the pig mask a couple times. I can't lie, but yeah, we definitely... We definitely did it for that show.
Those are great.
Sorry,
and it gets a little scary at times, but there's some cool parts, and Lincoln Hall did a really good job of lights and letting us do our thing, basically. And, you know, Jenny, you might know as well. Sometimes playing places, or playing a lot of places, the guys aren't the friendliest or whatever, the sound guys or the staff, but Lincoln Hall was super pro. They were super cool about it, and they let us do our thing, and no problems at all.
It's always nice to play in a venue like that, because it always makes, you know, the night go smooth. And
yeah, it affects the whole night, really, you know?
Yeah, definitely. So what do you think about... playing out in the Chicago area. What do you think about the Chicago music scene? How's that going for you guys?
We've been kind of at it for a while, and it's kind of like for us with real life, and, you know, we're not doing this solely. If we were, it'd be a whole different thing, but for part-time and for having full-time jobs and families and so forth and so on, it's been on and off for us. We've had, you know, member changes. We had some time off. We've been playing out for probably a good 4 or 5 years now or so. And we've pretty much played everywhere and anywhere in the area. And it's a blast. I can't really say anything bad about it. And as you know, obviously we wouldn't do it if we didn't like it. But it's just fun playing different places, meeting different bands, networking with bands, meeting different people, performing. The Chicago scene is there. It's just a little bit of it is kind of, I think, with once again with the internet stuff, in my opinion, it feels like some of that stuff kills it in a way where, you know, maybe 10, 15 years ago, there was a bigger scene because there wasn't YouTube and all this stuff on the internet. So that in a way, I think, makes this next generation of kids coming up in bands kind of scratching my head on how long is it going to last?
What's the next band?
Not to be a negative Nancy about it, but it's just it's evolving in such a weird way with how things used to be, or like the Smashing Pumpkin days or the, you know, 90s. To now, it's changed so much. I'm almost scared in a way of what's going to happen in the next 10 years. Is it just going to keep slowly depleting and depleting? If there's a scene definitely there. I just think it's harder to reach in a way because a lot of the market is so saturated with the internet and the accessibility of putting music anywhere and stuff like that. But it's just basically with anything in life, if you just keep at it and play out and you're good and the word of mouth will spread and book shows and, you know, like you can contest to as well. It's just like building a business, you know. You got to go around, get your name out there, and then people have heard of you, and then you get little better shows and little better shows, and that's kind of...
I think you're definitely right. You're right on the spot. I think... you know, I think the music industry in general is almost, I feel like it's shifting more towards being on the internet, more of the podcasts and the blogging, and, you know, there's a live broadcast of, you know, you can go play at the Metro and have it broadcasted live, you know, through live.com and all those places.
Yeah.
And I think YouTube is starting to do that too, so... I definitely think there's a different movement going out there. I think the market is shifting more towards an online-based audience, which, you know, is different, but it's, you know, different in a good way.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say without being negative about it. It's not necessarily a bad thing. Don't get me wrong. I think the internet's great for bands and that sort of thing. It's just, for bands coming up, it's just going to be a different game in a way than it was 10 years ago of how to promote, how to get yourself out there, how to succeed, I guess, in general. Things are changing so much, and that could be in a good way, though, with the internet for breaking the scene. And it's like an example would be the thrift shop song that you hear every 5 seconds. Those guys, Macklemore, whatever the other guy's name is, I even know their names, and they did all of that independently. They had no record label, and they were number one on the, because Billboard charts now, they do, I think they include YouTube views or something.
Something weird. Great thing about these days is that it is possible to be a number one band and be independent. I think that's amazing.
And that's kind of, in a way, I mean, that song is 100% my style, but in a way, it's kind of a glimmer of hope of like, hey, you know, that's a completely independent artist just doing it all, like do-it-yourself type stuff, and look where they got. I don't know how much money they made off that, but I know that they have millions upon millions of views. I'm sure they have millions of downloads and that sort of thing. So... right there
so
is an
let
example
me ask you
of
this.
Good internet.
Yes, I definitely agree with you. So let me ask you one more question. How many drummers have you guys had? And the only reason why I ask is because we have, I know that I have, like, right now I'm pulling out of a pool of drummers. Drummers seem to be like...
You're playing out of a pool of drummers, did you say?
Yeah.
Oh, yes.
I can never find one to stick with. How many drummers have you guys gone through? Have you guys been, you know, lucky enough to have, you know, one your entire career? Or how many have you gone through?
We had we have the drummer curse as well. Basically, our original drummer, Tom, was basically our anchor for years. I think you might have met Tom. And he had a kid, and I can't even think of how long ago it was now, but basically he had a kid, and we were at a point where he didn't know, and that's when we played a lot. We were playing like 2 to 4 gigs every month and a half, 2 months. That was kind of like a lot for us at the time. And we were playing out in the city all the time, and he was just, you know, he wasn't going to be able to keep up with that. And we were also all looking to take a break around that time, so we stopped for a while. Then we basically got another drummer who recorded Unemployed with us, and his name is Steve Ortiz. And his deal was he was going to school the following year. So he said, hey, I'll be in your band and record this album with you, but I'm leaving next year. So we said, okay. And then he went to school. He was gone for 2 years, and then we played with another 2 guys, kind of like your situation, and Tom, actually. Tom popped in for a few shows. We basically had 4 drummers in a pool for a while, and it would be like, can you play a show? Nope. Can you play a show? Yep. All right, you're in. So... That kind of, in a way, kind of hurts a band because it was hard to progress on new material and constantly having 4 different guys know the material. So it was either catching up or learning new songs, and then we started kind of playing some longer set shows and throwing covers in there. But now we're back to Steve, the guy who recorded on Unemployed, is back playing with us. And actually, I almost forgot to mention, we are playing tomorrow night at the House Cafe in DeKalb with a band called the Proto Men. And it's an all-ages show. And the whole show, I believe, starts at 7. I believe we go on around 8, and the Proto Men are 40 minutes after, so they'll go on probably at like 8:45, 9.
Yeah, that's coming up when? You said this?
What's that?
Oh, I'm sorry. I think my phone was cut out doing that. That's when?
I believe that's tomorrow at the House Cafe in DeKalb.
Yes.
It's a really cool place.
Yeah, definitely. And if you haven't heard of or seen the Proto Men, that is something that I can't even explain. So that'll maybe make you interested enough to look it up. It's just a really cool, rad band. To give you an idea of just the talent side of the band, they released a all-live Queen covers album, which you might scratch your head and be like, why, you know, what? But these guys, especially the lead singer, nails these Queen songs. They do a version of Bohemian Rhapsody, and that alone right there should just tell you a little bit about the talent of their band. They're kind of a concept band too. They have a lot of theatrics involved. They're kind of like a heavy rock band, and their whole story and concept is loosely based on the Mega Man video games, if you're familiar with that at all, the Nintendo days.
Uh-huh.
It sounds really weird, but it's really cool. They basically just took loosely the story and they embellished their own side stories, and their albums are in acts. So it's like the first album is like a chapter or an act, and they have a second one, and they're coming out with 3, I think, this summer, I believe. But the Queen.
The Proto Men, correct?
Yes, the Proto Men. That's who we're opening up for tomorrow. But definitely come check it out if you're in the area. definitely going to be a good show. If you don't like us, at least stick around for Proto Men, because I'll be rocking out.
All right, well, awesome. Yeah, definitely. I'm looking forward to hearing how that goes. Anything else you want to say about your album? Anything else you want to plug or anything like that? Anything else coming up?
No, that's the only show we have on the horizon. Other than that, we're still writing and rehearsing, and time will tell what the next chapter will be and what the next album will be. We kicked around the idea of possibly another concept album, but subject matter hasn't been established 100%, but there are things in the works, so...
Now, is the concept album going to be based on another, you know, political theme, or is it going to be, you know, more off that subject?
Probably not. It'd probably be a different thing. We kind of took this one, did that whole thing. We kind of would like to try something different than that subject again. And we're not all, you know, big picketing activists. We're just, that's kind of the point of the album is we're just, you know, average quote unquote employees like everyone else. And we just kind of feel like if we're thinking these things, a lot of people got to be thinking these things. So we're like, we might as well write an album about that. And people will probably more than likely agree, because that's kind of the way the public conscience is moving. And that was also right around election times. And there was just a lot of political stuff going on. So that subject just seemed right at the time, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, real quick, speaking of movement, and I'm going to backtrack for a second here.
Sure.
When we were talking about the age and the progression of how music is going right now, what is, if you had your magic wand or a genie lamp or something like that, and you could wave it to have it seen to go in any direction that you want it to go, what direction would you want the music industry to go?
Wow, that's a good question.
That is a good question.
That's a complex
Damn you, man.
Question. That's a complex question as well. But in general, it's just kind of sad in a way that music is going the route of teams of producers, keyboard, I don't want to say keyboards, because I mean keyboards can be used good, but basically just kind of the pop icons that it's, and there will always be those to some extent, but it seems like those are just kind of taking over everything, because in a way, exactly, and I basically just got my home studio, pretty much last puzzle of it, filled in. I got a computer, so now I can record stuff, and I have an auto-tune feature on it, and it is unbelievable on just turning that switch on how I turn into a pop star all of a sudden. Like, seriously. So that kind of artificialness, I guess you could put it.
It's Ryan turned Justin Bieber.
I know. I was getting sucked into the electronic world, because with that auto tune and beats, it just makes it semi more easy. And it's not that necessarily like the younger generations coming up would not like, let's say, a Nirvana or a, you know, Pink Floyd or something. It's just, by the time they get older, it's just like that stuff is just getting filtered out. The only thing they have in front of them is YouTube and the internet, and that's telling them what to like, and that's what they're exposed to. So the whole pop scene is almost kind of like sucking the life out of bands and musicians in a way that play like organic instruments, so to speak, and that kind of thing. So I guess... long story short, I would like to see the record labels and the industry sway a little further back to bands of like Foo Fighters, Black Keys, more of the rock scene, more supporting artists that are the more classic of like the 60s, like the four piece, you know, rock pop bands, the grunge era, like those type of eras of music, I would say.
So you'd rather see it go back to the way it was, like basically in the 90s, where it was not only was it a goal to work for, but it was done in an organic way, without auto-tune and all that. Oh, and just for example, what we were talking about with Queen, Bohemian Rhapsody, Freddie Mercury wrote that whole song and did every single track on that song, and the band had no idea what it was and had to learn how to play it. And it was something I think when we looked it up, it was something he had like 34 or 36 vocal tracks alone on that song.
Yeah, I've heard that stuff too, yeah.
He was a maniac.
Same thing with Prince, too. I mean, I love Prince. I mean, I think he's extremely talented. Anybody who can master over 24 instruments, I can't even name 24 instruments.
Yeah, and that's a good point, too, is, you know, you said Freddie Mercury wrote that, and he solely recorded the 36 tracks. I just don't think and I kind of can see the record producer's point of view on it, but I don't think, and I'm just going to pick someone, I'm not going to try to single any pop icon out, but just Justin Bieber comes to mind. I would, and you guys are going to get a ton of Justin Bieber lover hate mail because I'm going to bash him a little, but he's probably not sitting in the studio overdubbing his own backing vocals, 36 tracks, and hey, look at this, you know, rock opera I wrote. It's that kind of idea and feeling of the record producers who basically in some artists how they write songs is they have a team of people, literally a team of producers, assistant producers, producers who are sitting there and writing songs. So in a way it's almost like I was saying, choking the life out of music because it's almost becoming not real. It's not like Freddie Mercury's thoughts in his head making him feel those things to write that song. It's people, the record producer sitting behind the desk saying, we want this sound. We had this guy write it, sing it. And that, in a way, kind of cuts off the cord. And not all pop stars are like this. I'm just saying, in general, with that kind of music, to me personally, I feel like a lot of the emotion gets cut out of it. You know, rarely you even have an instrument, like an organic instrument in there that you can put emotion into and play. It's all digital electronic stuff. You know what I'm saying?
I was thinking of the proper way to say this, and you finished before the thought could actually fully develop. But it's almost like, I guess the easiest way to be would be musical acting. Where there's a script written, there's a character chosen, and then it's put together, and there's no meaning behind it. Yeah.
For the pop scene? Yeah, and that's like 100% true. I mean, look at all the Mickey Mouse Club people. We were just talking about that the other day at our band practice. Wasn't Britney Spears, Justin Timberlake, someone else? It's almost like record labels are breeding pop stars into filling those shoes and making, and that's the thing, on the one side of it, you know, it is a record business and it might not be correct, but that's probably the way the record labels are looking at it is, hey, you know, this is what's selling, so this is what we're doing, but it's almost like the people and the music listener needs to have a shift in what they think of and what they want to grab to listen. It's just, people just got to keep playing the good music and expose people to more music, and that's where bands like us and Jenny playing all these shows, and hopefully someone sees these shows and they're like, wow, there's a lot of good music in Chicago, there's a lot of good music locally, there's a lot of good independent music. So that, besides that, with the record labels and not having anything to do with that, I guess another answer to your question would be I would like to see the independent scene rise as big, if not bigger, than the record labels. I don't think there necessarily needs to be record labels in a way. I know there's bands, a lot of bands, that are more maybe in the jam band scene, but they're completely independent and thriving. They're playing Bonnaroos and, you know, Summer Camp and all these major 10,000 Lakes and all these major festivals, and they're 100% independent. They do their own records. They have their own record label that they record with. And so there is hope. There is a glimmer of hope out there. It's just the technology making it easier and easier, it might make it good or bad in the future.
That's great, Ryan. Well, thanks for being on air with us. And you want to give a plug to your website and your social networking sites before we say goodbye one more time?
Sure thing. It's theemployeesband.com is our main webpage. And you can find us at facebook.com/theemployees.
Cool. Yeah, man, definitely. Thank you. It's been a great conversation. That's what I love about doing these shows, just talking to so many different people. But like I said, I love to step away from the normal, just like paranormal stuff and whatever, you know, all this, the full network of what we're on does, and that's why because I have so many passions, especially music is a huge one of them, it always has been, so I just want to thank you and taking the time and talking with us. It's definitely awesome, man.
Yeah, for sure. Thanks for having me.
No problem. Have a good night.
All right, bye, Ryan.
You. See you, Jenny.
Definitely insightful.
Very. Yeah,
it's different when you read about it and somebody complaining about a certain article that was written but the people who are actually involved in situations and are in the bands and getting a first-hand perspective instead of what some editor or what some journalist decide to write in a review or something to see what they actually feel is the direction that is want to be gone and feel that it is going and what should change or what could be changed about it is that's what I love hearing. It's cool because I used to do a lot of stuff like you guys and be in the foxhole, but not anymore. And I know you guys are still in the foxhole and fighting to do what you do to get out there and get your word spoken and get the love out there. So that's why I love those conversations.
Yeah, I think Ryan had a lot of good insight to what's going on in the industry today, and that's some of the reasons why we brought him on the show and plug his CD and talk about the current events going on in the music scene today.
Yeah, and before we move on, really quick. What are you laughing about? I think you have a fan that wants to say hi.
I think I need some more Patron.
Some more heel.
Hey, Sammy, with us?
Hello? You're on.
Hello?
Apparently not. Oh, hold on.
Hello?
Hey, there you are. I don't know what happened there.
Yeah.
Go on, buddy.
You hear me?
Yeah.
You're on.
Yeah,
who is this?
Sam. My name's Sam. Hello.
Is this Sam from Mediocre?
Yeah, I'm calling from my cell phone. You told me to call you the other day. We're talking to you on Facebook.
Yes.
Yeah, I agree with that one guy that I just called in.
How are you doing? Sam is calling all the way from Canada.
Yeah, Toronto.
Toronto.
I want to hear that one band that does the Queen covers. That sounds amazing. Who's the band does the Queen covers? Because I do karaoke, and every time I do karaoke, I sing Queen songs because they're the most challenging songs, right?
Now, what's your favorite Queen song to sing? What's your favorite Queen song to sing?
Mine? Somebody to Love.
What? Somebody to Love. Can you sing a little verse of it right now live on air?
Yeah, sure. Oh, man. I don't have any music, but...
Acapella Queen.
Acapella. Come on. You can do this. We believe in you. All right.
Each morning I get up, I die a little. Can't really stand my feet. Take a look in the mirror and cry. Lord, what you do to me?
Beautiful,
you
Sam.
Thank you. Oh, here we go.
Right on.
That's all I can remember right now. I've been drinking all day. I've been drinking with my buddy because we were just drinking because it was WrestleMania weekend. So, WrestleMania! You guys went to wrestling?
No, not since I was in high school. Well, that was a big fad when I was in high school.
You know,
and I
Daddy,
never stayed.
Puff Daddy performed at WrestleMania last night, and it was actually really good because it was all live. Like, they didn't lip sing or anything at all. It was actually pretty good. And they had the band Living Color. Do you know that band?
Yeah. Called the Personality.
They played at WrestleMania last night. It was pretty awesome. Like, live. Like, amazing.
Nice.
Hey, Sam, while you're
on
air, you want to plug anything that you're doing?
What?
Do you want to plug anything that you're doing? I know you're in a band called Mediocre, and it's kind of a grunge band.
It's a grunge rock.
Yeah. It's pretty heavy. You dress and you put on dresses and you put on this whole show.
Yeah.
Huh?
Yeah. Oh, yeah. I wish my people came to see my band, though. It kind of sucks, but it's all good. It's not fun, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
All right, Sam, man.
I gotta get going, man. Thanks for taking my call, though.
Yeah, no problem.
Thanks for calling in, Sam.
Yeah.
All right, Sam. We'll talk to you soon.
I don't know. Come on, board. Oh. Okay, there.
Did we lose him?
No, Sam hung up and it moved the numbers around all over the place. So.
The life of a DJ.
Yes, and see, that is really funny to me because we have a mobile radio studio here on a laptop. What are you talking about technology and broadcasting and advertising? It's like we're in. Look, yeah, okay, it's a radio. It's on my screen. There's no studio. It's like, oh yeah, we're having.
It's on your screen, and we're eating sushi.
Yeah, eating sushi, having a couple
cool
drinks.
Sushi bar, yeah.
Which is Tokyo-based sushi in Naperville, South Naperville, 59 and almost 95th Street. So, last thing, and you're in the area and you're driving, cruise on in. So, but anyway, you know what? I do have, we do have one of the guys from Polar Rock with us, who is this? It doesn't have a ID except for the numbers, so I don't know who's who.
We've got Sam. Or no, I'm sorry. We just talked to Stan. We've got Stan.
Stan
from Polarizer is calling in. Polarizer is this great band. We played a couple shows together, and they're really amazing. They're Chicago-based. So we got Stan on the line. Stan, you want to say hi?
How's it going, everybody? This is Stan from Polarizer.
What's going on, man? How's your night going?
Not bad. I heard that you... had some sushi over there, so I got instantly jealous, so I don't know. I guess you were trying to score like a free gift certificate from that place by plugging them on the air, but that's pretty smart.
No, I seriously come here all the time, and my cabs are huge, so.
So what's your favorite type of sushi to eat, Dan?
I usually go for like the spicy tuna, anything with like a shrimp tempura is good. I had eel recently, and found that to be not bad. I had octopus recently, trying to be adventurous, and not bad. I don't know if I'll have it too often, but that wasn't too bad.
So this is my first time eating sushi, and it was eel.
Really?
It was like a party in my mouth, let me tell you.
You just You just dove right into the sushi experience. You didn't tip the other out.
I sure did. I dove right into the experience, and I loved it.
Yeah, she started with the unagi, and that was usually it's the California rolls, it's the gateway drug, and then you move on to things a little bit harder like unagi and stuff like that. So I eat everything. I actually have the sushi menu. I'm owner Ken is standing next to us. Ken, how much do you think I've accomplished eating out of this menu?
All right, everything.
We have a witness. So, Stan, tell us a little bit about your band, Polarizer.
Sure. Well, like you said, we're based in Chicago. We're kind of an alternative rock with a modern feel, but also a couple of classic rock flares. Our influences range quite a bit. Drummer's name is Ben. He's more into kind of the metal scene a little bit. His favorite band is Dillinger Escape Plan. Taylor's kind of got a 90s grunge, but he experiments all the time with new music, and he's kind of the one always suggesting bands to us, like, nonstop, when we're still trying to catch up with his 5 recommendations from the week before. So he's always on the up and up on what's new, and Ian's a guitarist, and he's really into, like, 90s grunge. He listens to everything as well, but that's his biggest influence. And me, I'd say my biggest, what I draw on a lot is classic rock. I play keys, so, bands like Styx, Queen, Hendrix, Rush, Zeppelin, that's my wheelhouse. So I try to bring that flavor in a little bit. So I think it ends up being kind of a different thing. People can pick out things that they like, that they're familiar with, but also things that maybe they're not used to listening to. So it's kind of a different experience, I think, for people.
Yeah, earlier today, Taylor emailed me 2 of the tracks. Wirewalker and You and Your Tell. And I was jamming both of those at work too, plus the employees song today. So it was like all kind of like local band coming out of my computer at work all day. It was pretty damn cool.
Yeah, that's what Taylor does best. Is he'll if you ever need a musical recommendation, just find him on Facebook, and I'm sure he'll have 10 lined up for you. So yeah, those 2 tracks, they're a couple of my favorites of ours. You always kind of go through phases where you like one and then you don't like one, and then there's that cycle. But those 2 tracks I consistently like to play live. They feel fun when we play them. So I thought those were good choices to kind of show what we're doing. And those are on Lightscapes, which is to be released very soon, probably over the summer. We're trying to get a definite date so people can start thinking about it, but nothing concrete yet in terms of release date. But 6-track project. It's been a long
and
time in the making.
Yeah, you guys have been working on it for a long time, so I'm really excited to hear all the tracks, and I'm really excited to when you guys actually finally release it. I'm totally looking forward to it. So
are we. We're looking forward
to
it.
And no, go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead.
I mean to interrupt. Oh, I was just gonna gloat to everybody that you guys let me sit in on a studio session, and you guys are really cool about that. So they recorded it. You guys recorded the whole Lightscape CD at Rack Track Recording in Chicago. Is that correct?
That's right. Yeah, we've been working there. Noam Wallenberg has been producing and engineering the whole thing. And he's a great guy, and he's super, super talented. Anybody who's thinking about mixing or recording a CD, he's a guy that they should talk to because he's just phenomenal. He's got great ideas, super good ear for music. And he joined our the project pretty early on. He actually went through the songs with us and really took on the role of producer, more than just a sound engineer. He's not just mixing these tracks. He had ideas how to, really pull them together. And his ideas combined with our ideas, I think we got a really cool thing going. So it's been a long process because we're getting in there recording and mixing and adding tracks and changing things whenever we get the chance, which is why it's taken a year to do. But I think the end result is it sounds pretty cool. I really enjoy how it sounds, and I hope folks out there kind of dig it too.
Now, don't you guys all live together? Is that... you guys moved from New York and all different places to put together a band in Chicago?
Yeah. Well, basically, so none of us are actually from Chicago originally. We all kind of come from all kinds of places. Taylor and I are both from Rhode Island, which is, you know, New England. So he moved here about 5 years ago and started the project called ARMA that has since ceased to exist. But he brought with him the drummer, who's Ben, who's he got to Chicago by way of Tennessee, by way of Montana. So he's been around. And Ian's from Indianapolis. So it's kind of cool. You know, we have all different stories and, you know, different projects that we've worked on in the past. And, you know, we bring all of that into this project. And it's cool to see how our different influences and different projects we've worked on in the past kind of combine to be what this is. And you can kind of see where it comes from.
So you guys don't have that drummer curse. You guys have had the same drummer for the entire time.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's been
together.
Yeah, Ben Ludwig, he was with Taylor and ARMA, and, you know, he's been in tons of projects in the past. He usually says his number of bands is around 14 bands or something like that. So, and he's great. You know, he's a blast to work with. He always has really good ideas. And it's cool when you have a drummer, you know, as a percussionist, who actually has a lot of input and a lot of say in the music itself and the melodies. Even like sometimes the vocals, he'll have input on that. And so when we have a song, when it's a finished song or track, it's really kind of a collaborative thing. It's not just I wrote this part, Taylor wrote the vocals, Ben did the drums, and Ian did the guitar. We all give input to each other on what we're doing, what we like, and none of us are shy about it. We're all very honest with each other in terms of what's working, what's not. So when at the end of the day, each track you hear truly, and I mean this, is really collaborative.
Hey, real quick, actually, speaking of which, the two that were sent to me, Wire Walker and you and your Tell, what's your favorite one to play a lot? Between those two, I know it's probably a hard choice, but...
Yeah, that's a tough call. You know, they feel differently. You know, as on keys, I do a few different things tone-wise. You know, I play the bass in the band also, so all the bass that you hear live is always going to be synth bass. And that's kind of fun for me. It's fun to do that and get into a room with the band live. So You and Your Tell is cool because it's got this kind of driving bass line. We actually did electric bass on the album. But that's really fun to play. I love the energy. Wire Walker, I think, is just overall my favorite song of ours. I get to play piano in that, which is cool. I feature piano on a few tracks, but this one, it's fairly prominent, so it's just cool to get that texture in there. In a rock, you know, piano sometimes doesn't have a place if it's like a hard rock band, so yeah, that's really fun to play, and it's got some energy to it.
Is I was able to download the songs that Taylor sent me and load them up to the soundboard. So which one do you want me to play first?
let's go with Wirewalker.
Wirewalker?
Sure.
All right. So here it comes. Hopefully this went in order.
Love you guys.
See, the one thing I do love is I love, even just between these two tracks, is there's such a style and diversity difference between the two and how they run. Like that's cool. It's not like a lot of times when you listen to an album from an artist, it's pretty much start to finish, track one to track whatever is on the album is pretty similar. And I love the way you guys mix it up to where it's like totally different sounds throughout. I mean, it keeps it entertaining.
Right. Yeah, that's something that we have thought about in our songwriting. And, you know, actually to date we've written over 20 songs, which to some people might sound like a lot, to some maybe not so much. But we had the option of hand-picking certain songs we wanted to use for our first EP. And we kind of picked the ones that we thought flowed well with each other. They were thematically made sense. And then we wanted to avoid exactly what you're talking about, which is, you know, too homogenous of a song selection. I think we've got enough hard rock riffs, heavy riffs, melodic stuff that's kind of a little bit more, you know, pulled back. We think that we have a pretty good mix of those two different kind of opposite ends of the rock spectrum going on in this EP. So, but we also have enough music where we're going to keep working in the studio right away. We don't want to take any time off. We know how long an album takes, so we're hoping to have another release ready maybe early of next year. That might even be a little ambitious, but I appreciate that you noticed that about Dynamics.
Yeah, there was a little venture that me and one of my buddies started, more in the hip-hop R&B genre. We used to do, like rap battles and stuff, but this was, like, years and years ago. But right around, like, 2001 time. And it was cool. We bought a whole ton of equipment. We leased out of space and had our own studio set up, and it was called Shaitan Records back in the day. And this is when Chicago Tracks was still around, and we do all of our mastering some of the final recording stuff there. It was fun, but yeah, I mean, once you lose momentum, it's hard to get back into that groove. So, I mean, I get what you're saying with that.
Right. Yeah.
So
and
tell
then
us
that's,
a little bit of.
Oh, gotcha.
This is what's fun about live radio is Everybody's hard. No, you go.
we hear a silence and we have to fill the void that's going on. So, Dan, tell us a little bit about South by Southwest. Did you do some concerts down there, some shows?
This year we did not. You know, for a couple of reasons. Number one, you know, Taylor. Some people know he's had some issues vocally that are hopefully going to be a thing of the past very soon. He just had surgery. He had actually a hardened cyst on his vocal cord. So, you know, he's been great with it. He's been doing all the right things. Once he found out that surgery was an option and, you know, was going to be able to clear that up, he went right for it. And he knows he wants to be singing for a really long time. So, you know, we all supported him in that and thought it was the right decision. So that and... you know, South by Southwest was great. We did it last year. Met a lot of great people, played about five or six shows in and around the downtown area where, you know, South by Southwest was actually happening. It was a great experience, but, you know, we're still a new band. We've been writing songs and playing shows for about a year and a half. So we still consider ourselves kind of new to the scene. And there's a couple of realities that come with that, one of those being that tours – you know, even local shows are kind of expenses for us sometimes. You know, getting the vehicle rental for a van. I mean, some bands own their own, which is fantastic, and we want to be in that place pretty soon. But it's an expense, you know, and we're all, you know, outside of the band, we're regular guys. We work jobs 9 to 5, and, you know, we try to make it work, and we're really passionate about it. So, you know, taking vacations and touring around is something we're super excited to do, but it's expensive. So this year we thought South by Southwest, you know, might not be the right year for us, but especially considering Taylor's vocal problem. When we did go, it was a really amazing experience. You know, just to go as a fan, I mean, it's something that you have to do at least once. I mean, there's just so much music and there's so many passionate people. And some of the best connections we've made with other bands that we love, we met at South by Southwest, whether it was last year or, you know, Arma, the previous project that Taylor was in, he went down there, and, I mean, we've made some great friends, and it's a really awesome connection.
Yeah, it's cool. It's good to network, and it's good to get other people that are in the industry and in the genre behind you and supporting you, because then if they have a show and they don't have a second, or they don't have a, you know, or you have a show and you don't have a second or an opener or something like that, then you can collaborate with people. And there's definitely networking is what I learned back in the day when we used to do it. Networking in the industry is definitely key. What immediate stuff do you guys have going on, and where is it going to be at?
Well, in terms of the summer, you know, we're going to continue to promote the album. We're really excited about it. You know, this is some of the first one of the first chances we've gotten to talk about it. You know, with anybody really. So we're psyched about that. Shows will come. I mean, we do have something tentatively planned for the end of June. That may or may not be our album release. If not, maybe July. So it's we're at kind of a point where we're finishing up the album. We still have to master it and get it pressed and have it ready to release. So we're not quite there yet. But there's a lot going on. And we're kind of overhauling our live show. We want it to be really exciting and fun for everyone that comes out to see us. And I know Jenny has played with us before. So, you know, she's seen our live show, and we had a lot of fun doing it. But we want it to be even better. So we're hoping that people really enjoy it when we're actually out and doing shows again and playing regionally and playing locally, and hopefully at least a couple times a year getting on the road and going to the East Coast or maybe even the West Coast.
You guys polarized me.
You know, I think, Jenny, I'm pretty sure you coined that term.
That's why I said it.
Back to the media thing. You got to hashtag it so you own it.
That's right. Hashtag is more legitimate than trademarking right now.
Yeah, trademark is a thing of the past. What Twitter says is law. So.
That's right.
But, yeah,
so,
I mean,
yeah.
The show that we did with Jenny was kind of a regional show. We played in DeKalb, Illinois. Shows like that, I mean, those are fun. Those are great. And it's a great way for all of us to get our music out there. And you know, we're a Chicago band, so I'd like to think that there's an audience here that knows us and are familiar with us and will come support and check out our new stuff when we play. But it's really also great to just get out and to the suburbs. And I think I'm not from the area, so remind me, DeKalb, is that where isn't there a college there, Jenny?
Yeah, that's you guys played right there where NIU is at. You guys played at Autos with me.
Right, right. So shows like that are great. You get to kind of put yourself out there in front of audiences that may not know who you are, and sometimes that's even more valuable than playing to a full venue of people that you do know and are already familiar. Because part of what we're trying to do is get our stuff out there, get a new audience, and sometimes those shows are actually, you know, just to reach out to people and get that cool response when people are really connected with it. That's really awesome, and sometimes you don't get that locally.
Yeah, and it depends what burb you're in, too, and depends what genre, like, you know, in Naperville around here, you got pretty much a couple, like, the one staple band, Seventh Heaven, that all the, you know, faux hawk kind of like dudes follow and everything. But and then when something, when it's all the places that book bands, when it's a band that doesn't have that genre, kind of gets a little bit like, oh no, I want to hear a cover of the Justin Timberlake. I don't want to hear anything original.
I also think it's a lot harder.
Oh, what's up? You heard the echo.
Yeah, we all hear the echo. I was going to say, I also think, and Stan, I don't know how you feel about this, but I also think being like more of an alternative band, it's a little bit harder to find your niche, your crowd, more so than, you know, if you're a hip-hop artist or country or metal. I don't know. What are you guys' feelings with that?
Well, that's a really good point. We've actually talked about this. You know, being a rock band, it means a lot of things, and there's so many subgenres, and it's kind of hard sometimes to really peg what we sound like. And we get the question constantly when, you know, we meet somebody out at a bar or whatever, and they're asking about your music. And all you can really do when you're in this type of category is, I hate doing it, but everyone says, well, what other bands do you sound like? I'm like, oh, okay. So we'll throw out a couple of bands that we you know, think we sound like, but the reality is that there might be, 30 seconds of one track where maybe we sound like this band. So if you say Radiohead, people think like, oh, Radiohead, yeah, and then they listen to our music and they're like, I don't even hear Radiohead. But, you know, if you listen to the last minute of one of our tracks, like, oh, yeah, that's kind of Radiohead-ish. So it's really hard to do that, and especially with playing shows and getting on bills and trying to play in front of people who are going to appreciate it, you know, it is a challenge. It's challenging because, you know, we just can't, there are no other bands that really we feel that we're exactly like, which we shouldn't feel that way. But, you know, we played a show in Muncie, Indiana, and I don't know how this happened, but we got paired up with, I'm looking at Taylor right now. He can't talk to me because he's still on vocal rest. But
oh, Taylor's
it was like,
there. Hi, Taylor.
Yeah, he says hi. He smiles.
He's waving.
He's waving. Yes. It was like a stomping kind of rootin' tootin' bluegrass catfish type of band that. And no. This, I mean, they were fun, but then we were going to play after them, and it was like, we're going to get really loud, and these people are, how are they going to respond to this shift, you know? And it's like, I have no idea how we got paired with this band, but that's, yeah, that is always a challenge. When you're a rock band, it's like, well, where do you fit in? And, you know, how do we find the people that will actually appreciate what we're trying to do? We're still trying to figure that out.
Well,
you're not alone.
And talking about, like, all the diversity and stuff, and what we were earlier, and your sound and not sounding like somebody and having different sound, stuff like that, I'd like to play a second track, if that's cool with you.
Yeah, please do.
Yeah, we got time. So, all right, here we go. Yeah, so of the two tracks, I was looking some stuff up on YouTube and everything. I wish I could download them. Speaking of which, where can people go to get or download or purchase albums or get in contact with you guys?
Well, our website is polarizertheband.com. So that's our hub. We also are trying to be pretty active on Facebook and Twitter. You know, when the album's out, I'm sure going to our Facebook, we'll be able to route you to the best place. We're all big fans of Spotify, so we really want to get our album on there. I think that's great. It's a great way to just get music out there. One of the things I really love is the related artist feature. You know, hopefully when our album's on Spotify, people can find us, you know, by looking at bands that they're also into. And so Spotify eventually, I don't know if that'll be when we actually release the album, if it'll be there yet, but that's something we're looking to do, and certainly iTunes, you know, the traditional avenues, but I would say start with Facebook or our website.
Cool. Yeah. Well, also, are you guys on Amazon or anything like that too, or no?
We've talked about it. You know, we really want people to also have the physical CD. Only because we're big fans of that. You know, we kind of all pride ourselves on our actual physical CD collections, and, you know, there's something to be said for that. It's becoming kind of a lost art, physical CDs, and having a collection. You know, people don't listen to CDs. They buy the CD, download the music to their computer, and then it goes in a box. But, you know, it's just part of the presentation, the total package of having an album is having the physical CD. And I'm sure that there are purists out there, I think they're called hipsters, that are into the vinyl. And, you know, I respect it. I'm not a vinyl guy. You know, I know that there's advantages to listening on that medium, but no, I think there's something to be said for that. And, you know, Amazon.com would be a great way to kind of make our physical CD available to anybody anywhere. So we've talked about it. It's certainly an option. But our favorite thing to do as a band, it's not to have someone download our tracks. It's not to have someone go to our website. It's to play a show and have people come and listen. That's really like our primary, that's what drives us. The experience of playing in front of people live, you know, for people who have never played in a band or anything like that, you know, it's hard to describe. It's just that connection when someone's listening to your music and having some kind of emotional response, or if it's a heavier song, kind of getting into it and jumping around or whatever. That's really the experience that we want people to have, and that's kind of what why we're doing this.
Yeah, and speaking of experiences, I have to know, and like I said earlier, before you came on, I know everybody has to have what was the funniest story on stage that you guys had, or situation, or like weirdest, like I can't believe we're actually having to deal with this.
Okay. This is our craziest experience as a band. We get gigs offered, and some of them we take, some of them we don't, if we can do it or not, or if we're busy with other projects, whatever. But so we were offered a gig in I forget what suburb it was.
The suburb.
It always starts with the suburbs. We were told it was a biker party of some kind, so we said, why not? You know, it might be an audience that would appreciate our music. And, you know, we weren't really sure what the turnout would be or anything. We just kind of agreed to do it. It wasn't too far away from us. It was, you know, 45 minutes away top. So it's just the most bizarre experience I can really talk about. There were people of all age ranges. They were bikers. It was definitely a biker cookout. We set up and we play on a stage that's kind of at maybe a 30-degree angle. So we didn't take the wheels off of our amps. There was one of the hosts of this function. He introduced himself to us as Spider. And Spider, you guessed it, had tattoos of webs on his face. I don't believe he was wearing a shirt at any point. We were already kind of scared of Spider. At one point he came around the corner of the shed with a chainsaw. And he was just going to chop up some wood for a fire later, I guess. But at the time, we weren't sure what his intentions were, as the man with spiderweb tattoos on his face came around the corner with a chainsaw. So that was one of the more bizarre experiences we've ever had. We weren't sure why we were there, how we got there, or if we were going to be murdered, you know, things like that. So that was that's part of the fun. That's part of the fun. You never know what you're going to get, you know. Some of the gigs that you get the chance to play on paper don't look like they're worth it, but sometimes you show up and you play and there's just, you know, 25 to 30 people that are just really into the music. And to have even one person come up to you and be like, wow, that's awesome, you know, I love this song, blah, 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 whatever. Just one person to do that, sometimes it just feels like, yeah, this is what we're trying to do. We want people to have this type of response. So you just never know what you're going to get.
So in closing on that show, it was thank you and goodbye, not thank you and goodnight.
Something like that. I think the whole thing wrapped up around 4 p.m.
4 p.m. or 4 a.m.?
4 p.m., yeah. It was a daytime thing. So we we had a few free PBRs on the house or the garage or whatever it was, and we waved goodbye and kind of drove as fast away from Spider as we possibly could.
You guys blogged about that on your website, didn't you? I think I remember reading something about Spider.
Yeah, I mean, how could we not? It was just one of those one of those defining moments of our lives.
Defining moments of your career as polarizer.
Yep. Jenny, I saw that you have a performance coming up yourself. I don't know if you mentioned it earlier in the broadcast, but April 30th at Uncommon Ground in Chicago.
I do. And Stan, you're gonna be a guest of honor, aren't you?
What does that mean?
I don't know. Whatever you want it to mean. It means that you're gonna come and maybe sing a duet with me.
Sure. Tell me what song, and I'll be ready.
All right. Well, maybe we'll have to collaborate something together online here in the coming week.
I'd be down for that. Yeah. No, I'm excited. Uncommon Ground is a pretty fun place. I don't know if any listeners have been there or know what it is, but it's a really cool stage area. It's kind of a cafe and a bar. Really cool place. I'm really looking forward to going. Who else is performing? Can you remind me?
Yes, my friend Jeff Ruby. He's actually from Nashville, so he's coming up from Nashville. He's going to play in Chicago, and I'm hoping to get a crowd out to see him, give him a nice, big Chicago welcome.
Yeah, that's one place that we would love to play is Nashville. So hopefully make it down there. And David, I mean, I haven't been there recently, so I don't know what the music seems like today. But is he from? Is he a native, or is he just like kind of ended up there, or what?
He's originally from Indiana and moved down to Nashville further. I believe to further his music career. So I believe he's been in Nashville for a long time. So I'm sure he can answer any questions that you have when you come on the 30th to see him. He'll be happy to. He's a great guy.
That's April 30th, right?
That's April 30th, Tuesday, April 30th at 8:00, 8 p.m. at Uncommon Ground. Thank you for reminding me.
Sure. No, I'm going to be there, so.
Anything else you want to plug about your band? And I know you guys
generally
got the.
Huh? Just the album. Keep your eyes peeled. Go on Facebook and give us a listen. And if you like what you hear, like us on Facebook. Go ahead and follow us on Twitter. We're trying to keep everyone up to date with where we are with the album. Hopefully, have a specific date for a CD release show. If you're in the Chicago area. Come check us out when we release it. We're so excited about it. We haven't played any shows in a while due to obvious reasons, but we just have the itch. We really want to get out there and perform for you guys again. And just find us on Facebook, and you'll know when the album release show will be, and you can get it there or download it online at our website or from iTunes.
Yeah. I'm looking it up right now. What's the Facebook page?
Oh, the Facebook page is facebook.com/polarizer the band.
That's what I did wrong. It was my fault. It was my fault. There it is.
It's always gonna be Matt's fault.
I know. It usually is. It usually is. So, let's check what we got time-wise right now. Yeah, we got just a couple minutes left. So, just want to say, Sam, thank you. It's definitely been a pleasure. I love the music. I mean, hope you guys keep rolling with it. And you definitely got yourself a fan. And I'll have to come out to one of the shows.
It's awesome to hear. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, no problem. Well, you have a good night, and we will do our normal closing thing. And I passed it along to Brittany, who normally does this show with me, but she's having her birthday week in New York or something like that. I don't know. She's all over the place all the time. But she's a diehard music lover. She's a total, metal rocker chick. If you look her up to get an idea, it's Brittany Cecile Johnson. And, yeah, she's fun. You'd like her.
Yeah, we'll have to look her up.
So, all right, man, have a good night. Like I said, I definitely appreciate it. And, yeah, I'll be keeping an eye on you guys.
Great. Thanks a lot. All right. Thanks, Jenny.
All right.
Bye, Stan. Thanks. Give Taylor our love. Tom, we hope he feels better.
Yeah, pass it on. That we have him out there. As hopefully he'll feel better so you guys can get back out there.
Thanks a lot. I appreciate it.
No problem.
Bye.
Bye. So.
So.
Oh, I thought you fell asleep. I'm like, oh, come on, really? I just looked over from the computer screen and Jenny's head was like almost buried in her lap. I think she was messing with her phone. But
I'm getting a lot of text messages coming in.
So, what do you mean, want to get the hell out of here? Yeah, I've been up since 3:30. Yeah, you just throw it on my... Yes, this is the one nice thing about doing the local stuff and meeting up instead of just sitting at home doing it with the TV on mute in the background is hanging out amongst people and sitting across face-to-face. I apologize if there's any sort of feedback or anything coming through. It is what it is. Mike checked it up and kind of a pain, but hell, it's definitely worth it. So I just want to say thank you to everybody for this evening. Jenny, you've been an amazing, amazing co-host. Love it. Any time that you want to be on, you're more than welcome. And I think what we're going to do is we're going to close it out with another replay of your song. And
awesome.
In a minute of shit, I got to find it. But, yeah, Jenny, thank you so much. It's been a pleasure.
Sure. Thanks for having me on, Matt. I really appreciate being invited, and thanks for having the employees and Polarizer on. It's been a great time, and a nice tasting sushi for the first time in my life. I'm still alive. Still around to talk about it, so that's good to hear. So if you guys want to text me and my band out, we are at JennyFrank.com, and then we're also on Facebook. At facebook.com/JennyFrankMusic. And Frank is spelled with CK. So, and I want to thank everyone for listening, and I hope you all have a good night.
Yes, and also I think we might be back next week with Brittany and myself, and we may actually continue this. I don't know. May roll with the band stuff because I know she loves it, but... yeah, also Wednesday night, Full Spectrum Radio, if anybody does want to be on and be a guest, it is Full Spectrum. It doesn't have to do with anything independently. You can be a doctor, an attorney, a musician, a undertaker. It really doesn't matter. That's why I kept it open. So it's Wednesday night, same time. And thank you, everybody. Have a good night. And here's Jenny again.